need more space, man. All right, we ready to go? They got me? Are they hearing me? Any questions about anything covered so far?
I just have a question about the Dark Force entities and all. So just, I'm having trouble with the mic on the Archangel and all that whole mythology. It sounds almost like Santa Claus. Involves Santa Claus. So
your question to me is?
Well, my question is, where did you learn this stuff? Or were you taught this stuff? Or
you can find, you can find this stuff in books. For example, Spirit Releasement Therapy by William Baldwin is an example of a source for this. There's a number of other sources. But you can do whatever Spirit leads you to do. I've tried through the power of Jesus, and it didn't work as good as Michael. Because it seems like Michael seems to be the one that the soul will accept as having authority in this situation.
Does that work with, say, non-Christians, or people who were raised in Asia or Africa?
I believe that those people will be led to the people who will know the right system for them. Because this, when you do this spiritual work, these people are led to you. That's what I believe. And someone that, and when this happens, that person has been led to me by unseen forces. And they know what tools I use. If someone is having these kind of problems and they're a Sikh, okay, or a Hindu, they'll be led to the person, if available, they can work within their belief system. I can only give them the best that I got, and so far that's the best that I got.
What was the offer?
William Baldwin, like the piano. So interesting. I met with William Baldwin a couple of times. I went to a convention on this kind of stuff, a training or something. And he passed away just like 2 weeks before I made this recording on Spirit Releasement Therapy. And it was really interesting because I had really not done a lot of teaching on that. And then one of the main teachers on how to do that died. And 2 weeks later, I found myself teaching it. So I don't know what kind of synchronicity or if that means anything. The Spirit Releasement Manual, William Baldwin. There's another interesting one which more deals with ignorant spirits than dark force entities, but it is The Unquiet Dead. By Edith Fiore. Fiore. F-I-O-R-E. Fiore. F-I-O-R. There's also another, I can't remember the author, 20 Years Among the Dead is an interesting one. But it's interesting because in that case, they did not use hypnosis. It was written in the 19-teens, published around 1920. And it was a time, the heyday of mediumship, where that was a very big thing. And it happened to be a dentist and his wife was a medium. And what they would do is they'd find people who are supposedly afflicted with an attached entity. And again, this was dead people. And what they would do is they would excite the entity such that it would want to leave. And then her being a medium would serve as a host. And the way they did it through that, in that book, was through static electric shock. Evidently, it hurts them more than it does us. And they would use these static electric shock machines and shock them until the spirit looked for a host. And then the wife would be a willing host, the hostess with the mostest, right? And then she would let it take over, and then they would do the work to the medium. I am not telling you guys got to do that. I'm not telling you got to do it my way. I've just given you a warning that those things can happen. This is not an NGH-approved part of the course. It is extra. You do not have to know this stuff to be a five-path. But I'm giving you a warning that if you do age regression enough, this kind of stuff will come up. Will come up. Almost every not every, for almost every intern we've ever had, by the time they'd reached 25 clients or 100 sessions, has had this occur at least once.
At exactly the time you're ready for it.
Whether you feel ready for it or not. Whether your conscious mind agrees with that or not. And any other questions about anything else covered so far? That's it.
Yeah.
Thank you all for wearing your name badges.
Mine almost falls off. So what if you suspect like a child or a younger person has an entity attached to them?
Run like hell, because those are the worst.
Yeah.
You ever seen Barbarella?
What?
The little dolls with the silver teeth going after you? No. What about them? What do you do?
Would you work with them?
What does Sid ask?
She wanted to know about this cult movie by the name of Barbarella. It came out in the... No. Actually, she says, what if it's a curtain climbing crumb snatching lawn monster and you suspect that it's got dark force entity? The children do not have insight, that is, and so you know, you got, and you've also got to deal with the parents and stuff. And what I would be more likely to do, unless their parents, you know, say, you know, are totally in tune with this kind of stuff, and probably the more likely they're totally in tune with this kind of stuff, the more likely it's probably not a dark force entity, but that they live a life where they talk about spirits, and they've impressed the child with that, and it's. The more likely the person comes in saying, I am possessed, I have an attachment, my mother, father, sister, brother is possessed or has an attachment, the more likely it's a psychological construct, mm-hmm. meaning it's made up. Okay, just that's the first thing. What would occur that would make you suspect that a child...
Like a child acts different, begins to act differently.
Like an adult?
Well, it's like this weird behavior. Like,
Nancy.
Huh?
The, like that, okay. The bad stars.
Just finish your own sentence.
Yeah. Like, for instance, I know of a child who, around 5, kind of began to, not masturbate, but rub himself, you know, on the floor or whatnot, and has kind of interested girls. I sucks. Sends us kind of early.
Okay, that's insufficient evidence to do that. You just would treat them any like anyone else. So only evidence. I ignore all evidence unless it came up through therapy and hypnosis. I ignore all that stuff. That's all hypothetical. That's all the conscious mind trying to come up with something. I think, okay, they think that they're possessed, or their mom thinks they're possessed, or maybe they're possessed, I think, possible. But that's all hypothesis stuff, and I would never find that to be actionable. And I would just proceed with the hypnotherapy, and if I did age regression, then you know something would have to happen much more significant than that. And one of the things you can also do is there are some people that do spirit releasement therapy by proxy or at a distance. I'm trying to think, Bill, someone, he's the one that we have on the my guest that I have on the spirit releasement tape on the Bolson CD, Bill something. He does that. He's in New York and he does that kind of stuff. And another thing that you can do is you can do seventh path for someone. So long as you aren't taking away time from your own practice. Okay? Because you have to be in your own practice. But you could do an additional period of time, okay, saying, you know, just like I did, Delta renews Mary's life and put my hand on her. Right? You could do that either with them,
yes, sir.
Or at a distance, or using something to channel that energy. Such as nail clippings or hair clippings. Well, really, anything. A picture, their name, anything that would connect you with that person, you can do it. You know, if you had, maybe they won a third grade spelling bee ribbon or something, you hold on to that ribbon and do, you know, Delta renews Mikey's life and use that as a focal point. Think of Mikey, but holding that helps to make the connection. You can also do, you've heard of like prayer circles. Well, Seven Path is a meditation or a prayer. And you can get a number of people doing it for that individual. And you could even make it very structured, in which the maybe you have four people and they get into a circle, and in the middle, you know, you have their picture or their name, and you focus on that person, and you know, God renews Mikey's life or whatever it is. Yes.
I have more experience taking spirits out than I have psychological constructs, but I could definitely tell the difference. What do you do when you got like this? Somehow, sense feels like a psychological construct. I mean, it's perfectly scripted and written when they recite what's going on.
Because they screw up. The psychological constructs don't know how to answer. And in my experience, the spirits, if they exist, okay, respond exactly as I told you to. When they stop responding in that way, they're more likely to be psychological constructs. And I remember one that I just said, you know, you're not an evil spirit. You're just a psychological construct. You're just a figment of our imagination. Oh, that really made me. And if I truly believe I have a psychological construct, I'll say, oh, you're a big bad demon? Prove it. Here I am. And they can do nothing. And so, what have I done to it? I've completely disempowered it. It loses its power over my client, and it becomes just a psychological construct. And then what we'll do is we'll follow it back. So I'm going to go five back to, well, I get to one, you're going to be at the first time you appeared in her life. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We find out what the situation is and how this belief that is in it is there.
They pretty much utilized, because I had somebody that was claiming to be ritualistically, satanically abused. And just everything I could feel in me, everything said, something's going on here, but this isn't what the story is.
Age regress on it. We count from five back to one. Let's go back to when you first appeared in her life. Boom. And there will either be a merging of the spirit, or there will be some event that has a psychological consequence where they create the psychological construct. Age regression is the royal high road of all therapies. And so you can age regress on a entity or on an attachment.
Did you try the age regression before you did hypnosis? And what was your experience if you did?
No. One of the reasons I learned hypnosis was so I could do age regression.
So you didn't have that experience of trying to deal with somebody's conscience?
No. I wouldn't. Timeline therapies and these other kind of things like that never interested me. Remember, I grew up in a family where there was a hypnotist.
Oh, that's right.
So I was interested, who was, in the 50s, was doing past life regression. So the idea of doing it without hypnosis never even crossed my mind. Yes?
Is this the ideal time to bring up an issue of a client I'm having an issue with myself?
Has something we've covered so far?
It has to do with AR and uncovering the ISE.
Uh-huh.
She is symptomatic. She's been to approximately five different doctors. She's had operations and can find nothing until it fades away. Wrong with her at all. And she walks and she lifts her leg and drops it. I mean, it's, you know, the long way. It is not rhythmic. It is not a rhythmic gait. And I've age regressed her back to the time where she was to 10, and she was, and I couldn't get it back any farther, and I must be doing something.
First of all, let me say, because a doctor cannot find anything physically wrong doesn't mean there's nothing physically wrong. I mean, 30 years ago, they couldn't find the cause of illnesses that they can find today. 10 years, 20 years from now, they're going to find physical causes to illness that they can't find today. Having said that, almost every physical illness has an emotional component that exacerbates it or brings it into reality. So there's a balance. We want to work with the doctors, not against the doctors.
Well, there are clues.
Okay.
With the age regression to approximately 10 years old, she was always last picked in sports, somewhat the fly on the wall participant. And so she feels she wasn't adequate in and she has a husband who is saying, well, did it work yet? Did it work yet? So there's an expectation there.
Okay, let me ask you a couple questions for clarity. How long does she report having the problem? When did it begin, from her point of view?
After surgery.
Okay, how long ago was that?
About 4 years.
Okay. So that appears to be the symptom-producing event. Okay. But when, and you did affect bridge.
Affect.
You brought the feeling associated. What was the feeling?
That's where I became a little confused. How do you identify a symptom and a feeling?
You don't. They do.
Well, that's say what I mean. I'm going through this one.
Yeah. You tell them, you test confirm their insomniambulism, requires somnambulism. There's a feeling inside you that you don't like that has everything to do with why you came here today. As I count 1 to 5, comes up strong, powerful as ever been. Good. Now I count from 5 back to 1, we go back to an earlier time it felt that way. What was the emotion that was brought up?
I've done this twice, so excuse me.
Think about it.
Disappointment is not an emotion, I'm sure. But I think it was sadness of not being.
What did she lose?
She lost the ability to be accepted by the other kids.
Oh. And then how'd that make her feel?
Not good enough.
That's a perception. That's not an emotion.
How did it make her feel?
Okay. And so one of the mistakes that some people make is, I see this in our interns, is like someone's overweight and they do there's a feeling inside you don't like has everything to do with why you came here today. And they'll bring up the feeling that they have because they're overweight. Wrong. We want to bring up the feeling that caused them to become overweight. That's why I asked what she loses. If she lost her mobility or whatever it is, and it's a feeling that she's got after the symptom occurred, that's not the right feeling. We've got to find the feeling that was present before the symptom occurred. And then follow that one back. And that's why you said sadness. And I thought, oh, okay, maybe that's symptom related. And the sadness came from not being accepted. And how did that make her feel, you think? And what there is insecurity or fear. And then we follow that fear back to wherever it was, or whatever it is. But the trick is to do is to find the feeling that existed before the symptom-producing event. Because if we regress on the feeling they get because they have this problem, that's irrelevant. Okay. The other thing that will happen is sometimes you'll be regressing someone and they'll, quote, hit a wall, nothing. Okay? Or I feel nothing. And, you know, you do an anger regressing back, or you'll just go, boom, nothing. Then what you want to do is regress on nothing. On this, what do you feel? I feel nothing. Good. Focus on that. I feel nothing. We go back to an earlier time we felt that way. And what's it going to take us to? It's going to take us to the event or situation that caused them to stop feeling. And so what we do is then we find out what they were feeling that they decided to stop feeling. And now we've got an authentic affect to bridge off of back further. So back to our approach.
Michael.
Michael,
I read. Does she have any affinities with amputees?
Yes, sir.
How do you know in the, like you gave the example of the weight reduction, if the person is coming up with the correct feeling that brought them there today? If they, do you just assume that they are?
Well, okay. Because of the secret language of feelings, we take them back. We say the feeling has everything to do with why you came here today. Is count 5 back. Boom, boom. What's happening? Daytime, nighttime, indoors, outdoors, alone, or with someone. What's happening? Okay. Oh, they're calling me fat. How does that make you feel? Sad. So what do? I go home and eat Rocky Road ice cream. Well, that is not the feeling that caused them to be fat. That's the feeling they got after they got fat. Okay? So, and so that is what brought them in. And so you praise them for that. Good. I'm going to count to 1 to 5 again. And there's another feeling, a feeling that's older than that. That has everything to do with why you have this problem. I count from 1 to 5, it comes up as strong, powerful as ever been. So we praise them for what we got, and then redirect them.
Yeah. All right, can I talk about applying down to this kind of bridge, that age progression, all the stuff that was going on? So real short, dad calls up, son wants to try hypnotherapy. He's in a public, some sort of county home. It's a boarding in home. But before, I'm researching this for my son, but I want to tell you his background. His mother has accused me of molesting the child several times. I've passed a bunch of polygraph tests. She keeps telling the kid that I molest her. She keeps telling him that he doesn't realize that I molested him, that he's a homosexual. Kids got real sick, then he got very delusional, and he ended up being taken out of my care, which I've won custody twice over. He's in this county thing. But he wants to try hypnotherapy because he had an experience where he felt comfortable talking. And he's kind of a recluse and all the other stuff. Talk to the kid. The kid says, I went to the dentist, had him work on my gums and everything else, and I was very relaxed, and I was able to talk to my father about stuff that I was never able to talk to him about. I would think hypnotherapy could help me. Go, great. That's exactly what hypnotherapy can be used for. Are you under the care of a doctor? No, there's a counselor here at the home. He comes in. He basically got very, very sick. Had a bowel infection, went into delusions and paranoia, which is called schizophrenic affective disorder. Never heard of it.
Schizoaffective disorder.
Right.
Schizoaffective disorder.
So that's what he had, and he had accused his father again of doing stuff, and they'd taken away from his dad. He's not out of home. He doesn't believe his dad yet. So I just put him in the chair before I came here, got him to, just gave him some positive suggestions, and gave him some very light, like, watch a movie, do this. And he kind of went a little backwards for a week, and I said, call me, let me know if you go backwards. Just do a little mini 5-minute call in a day or two. He forgot to call, he didn't do anything. Brought him back in a second time. I said, no, should do age regression or anything like that on him right now. This guy is just a little too fragile. So we did some things, talked about kind of segmenting, feeling better, social skills, like his computer. He's a computer genius. He utilized the computer model as his mind model. Made him feel good, positive, direct suggestions again. Started, woke up in the morning, showered himself, took care of himself, started to do things.
How old is he again?
24. Comes back in just before I came here. I thought, I still don't think I should age regress him. Dad's kind of like, well, I'm not made out of money and all this stuff, Mr. Lilly, you know. I can tell you, we'll evaluate in about 4 sessions to see where we are. And the kid kind of wants to automatically go there, but he's scared crapless. One of the suggestions I give him, he stopped drinking soda and started drinking water. He pounds down a bunch of water, session runs long, he starts regressing, and then comes out of the session and goes pee. There's another client coming in right on the back. We've been in session for 2 hours, and that's where things were. And I called to check on him while I was here, and he's kind of like not taking care of himself. And he felt kind of wrong. They told him, like I said, you have a higher power that can help you out. You can kind of sit through this. Now, you're not going to, because you successfully went through that experience, you know that you're not hurt. You know you can heal this because you've already been successful. And that's where we pretty much, cycle it through. So the next move is to kind of getting back in and do a successful.
Okay. What does he want?
He wants to feel who he is and be comfortable with that. Is what I said.
He wants to discover who he is in what way?
Sexually, because he's tried homosexual. He had some deplorable things which we never got to figure out if the following section was that or not. He's not sure he may be a transvestite.
Okay, does this guy seem mentally healthy to you?
Yes.
But he's been diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder.
Yeah, one
time.
He's not under the care of a shrink right now, which supposedly.
Okay, and he responds well to hypnosis. He's getting into hypnosis like that.
He's on meds.
Okay, what I would be really careful with this guy about is that, first of all, you nail down a goal, an issue.
Yeah.
And don't start moving around all this different stuff.
Yeah.
And today we're going to work on this, and today we're one thing. And then stick to it like crazy. And I would, you know, if he, like I said, does he seem mentally healthy? Yes. Okay, then I would move ahead and I'd do 5 pounds. I mean, that's what I would do. I always, this is it. If they're not mentally healthy enough to do 5-path, I don't work with them. That's who I work with. They have no therapist. I'm not licensed. I have a master's degree in psychology, but I'm not licensed. And so hypnotists and hypnotherapists, unless you're licensed, and when you're licensed as a counselor or social worker or a psychiatrist, you really are part of a treatment team, or you should be. Okay? Where you have, you know, people that know how to handle it, they decompensate, if there's medication adjustments, if the family needs to be worked with, all that stuff. When they're mentally ill, it really requires more than I can give them as the lone hypnotist. You got to have this team approach. Okay? So, but if he appears to you to be mentally healthy, however, there's at least one psychologist or psychiatrist who disagree with you, and that's the one that gave him the diagnosis of schizoaffective disorder. Okay? But that if you're in a state where you can legally go ahead and work with them without the referral from the physician, then what I would do is I would do 5-path, and that's what. So the next time it's time to do age regression, but I would doggedly stick to this issue. So many people come in with a laundry list, and I say these are all wonderful things that are worthy of being worked upon, but the more we scatter out our efforts, the more diluted our success will be. You need to pick one thing that if we change that one thing, it would have the absolute most positive effect on your life. And that's what we're going to work on. We get that done, and sometimes some of this other stuff will clear up automatically. And we'll have to spend a lot less time working on these other things if you choose to do it. And so that's what I would do with them.
Your criteria.
And I stopped calling him kid. He's 24 years old. Yeah. Before you gave me his age, I thought he was 12, 13 years old.
Yeah. His dad kind of painted this picture that he was like, had a bad scoliosis. So I'm waiting, and he's tall, so I was expecting Lurch to walk through the door. He's a big, very deep blue eyed, good looking kid, and he doesn't look like Lurch. He doesn't have that big of a, where he looks like he's a freak.
Yeah, I might even refuse to talk to his parents anymore. I say, look, part of the treatment is this kid's got to start making the phone calls, got to start making the appointments, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay. That's the,
if he's not able to do that, he may not be mentally healthy enough to work with.
That was the other question, because one of the issues why he had to go to the dentist, he stopped brushing his teeth for months on end. He's going to stop taking care of himself.
This guy's not mentally healthy.
Okay.
And really, I think to be working with him, you're going to do nothing but frustrate yourself.
Yeah.
And run up their bill. I would really want to be part of a whole treatment team to be working with them. Because he may need to have in-home supervision. He might have to be in a halfway house or something like
that. He's in like a halfway house, and he kind of likes being there, but he doesn't...
Okay, he's mentally ill. If he's in a halfway house and he diagnosed a schizoaffective disorder, he's probably beyond what you can provide for him as an individual.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've already had a therapist lined up in my office.
Yeah, and it's really good to build those kind of relationships with helping professionals so that you can work as a team and plug into his team and that kind of stuff.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Hypnosis is mainly for normal everyday people with normal everyday problems. Yes, it can be helpful with the mentally retarded. Yes, it can be helpful with the mentally ill. But it really, those people need more than what the lone individual can provide with them. That's why most of these people, when they get into the system, and they need support to live independently. And when you start doing things like age regression, you're going to very likely cause them to decompensate and wind up to be hospitalized and things like that. And so you really need to have the whole team on your side when you do that. Otherwise, at the very most, if I was in a situation where I absolutely had to work with somebody, it was an ethical thing to do, better than not working with them, the most I would ever do is direct suggestion work. But I would anticipate that I'm not going to get a lot done. You know, that it's not going to be, it's going to take a lot of sessions, it's going to cost them a lot of money, and it may or may not be successful in the long run.
The thing was, you know, I kind of expected him to go backwards the first session, and he did. And the second session, he started to create days where he actually did what we call segmented attending. I tend to do this, and he had a sense of feeling success. He got up, woke up, had a good time, had a shower, brushed his teeth. I'm 24 years old. I'm taking a shower, brush my teeth. Doing this, and did you do this? Did you do this? Yeah, yeah. I said, you know what? Here's your laundry list for your perfect day. You've got, you know, 4 out of 7.
Yeah, you're working with someone that's not mentally well.
Okay.
If you got to, you know, reward them for, you know, for having a day where they get up, brush your teeth, get dressed, and stuff like that, this is a person that needs more help than you're going to be able to give them as an individual.
Okay.
Are you you're not like a social worker or anything like that? You're a hypnotist. You're just...
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're over your head.
They see once a week.
See, and that's the other thing I see you doing is counseling, like getting on the phone with them, da, 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 and I won't do that stuff. My work is done in the hypnotic state. If they need counseling and support like that, then they need to be seeing a counselor or a coach or something like that.
Okay.
Well, 5-path work is someone who's, like, normal, but they have, like, diagnosed obsessive-compulsive disorder, like counting or checking.
Yes, but if you're going to work on that, in most cases, in most places, you need to get a referral from them, a diagnostic physician or psychologist.
Yeah. What if they've already seen a psychiatrist and have not made any headway, and they're just like, I don't want to see them, or they're just shunned that kind of
thing. You see, you know what? We don't live in a perfect world where I can practice medicine without a license, just because you don't feel like getting a referral. See, that's, when you start diagnosing mental illness, you're either practicing medicine without a license, or you're practicing psychology without a license. Now, there's some places, like California, where we have a health freedom laws, where we can do that kind of stuff and not get in that kind of trouble. But it has to be done in a very specific way. And you're still better off by getting a referral. But things like obsessive compulsive disorders can be very well helped with hypnotherapy 5-path, because it's an anxiety disorder, which is different from thought disorders. Thought disorders are those hallucinations, delusions, schizoaffective. It means they're kind of schizophrenia-like, but they're also kind of, you know, bipolar-like or cyclothymia-like. You know, there's an emotional component. It's really complicated. Never, ever, ever work with borderline personality unless there's a team of you. If you see that on something, so you immediately give them, say, I am not qualified to work with you. Okay? Yeah, personality disorders can be really tough. You know what? Let me tell you something about psychology, medicine, and the hypnotherapist. Depending on how you define mental illness, and depending on how severe you're going to draw the line, and depending on what study you look at, somewhere between 2% and 6% of the population is seriously mentally ill. They're really hard to work with. They got no money. Leave them for the doctors and the psychologists. The other 94 to 98% pretty much are a hell of a lot easier to work with, and they got money. Or they're married to somebody with money. It's a heck of a lot better decision to make. Don't make yourself, your life difficult by working with mentally ill people unless you're part of a treatment team and getting paid by the state or something like that. Now, having said that, I've worked with things like with obsessions, compulsions, and things like that. Had wonderful results with 5-path, like trichotillomania. Who knows a trichotillomania? I just like saying
it. Yeah, pull hair pulling.
Yeah.
I've got a client.
Mm-hmm. And that's a compulsion. Okay? And the sometimes it's hair, sometimes it's eyebrows, sometimes it's eyelashes. Okay, and it's kind of tough. I mean, it usually takes more than 5 sessions because it is a mental illness. It's a little bit more work. But if they'll hang in there with you, you can fix it. If you're working on a medically or psychologically diagnosed problem, like compulsive hair pulling called trichotillomania, okay, and you're working on that, in most places, particularly Texas, you know, some environments are more friendly than others. And in Texas, they want to take you out and shoot you, you know, if you call yourself hypnotherapist.
Well, that
hangs. They hang you?
Yeah.
So, you know, you just got to know your environment.
Your operative word here was diagnosed. So if someone says, hey, I just have this problem, and I pull my hair out, or I'm playing and pulling my eyebrows out when I sit around doing nothing, that's not diagnosed.
Yeah. Are you qualified to diagnose that?
Well, I work with a psychiatrist, so I let him do it for me.
Well, answer
me
my question.
He gives me the referral. No, no, I'm not qualified.
Good.
I'm not a doctor.
That's
MD.
Right. Okay. Good. So just don't call it trichotillomania. If you did, you'd be playing doctor. You'd be playing, and you write down, you know, habit of pulling hair. Working on the habit of eyelash. Same as habit of nail biting. There's really no difference. There's absolutely no difference than biting your nails and pulling out your hair. If you do age regression, you'll find out that the nail biting tends to start earlier. In that toddler stage, that's where it'll start. Trichotillomania starts later, usually in adolescence. That's the same thing. Good. All right. So I got you guys interested, huh? Nina, did you raise your hand? One of the things you get for being one of our students is you get a free web page on a website, hypnosis-directory.com. And and we're going to set that up for you according to the state or country where you live. And so hypnosis-directory.com. And so we're going to need your email address to do that. We need to have at least your email address or some other contact information. It doesn't do you any good to be in a phone book if you don't have a telephone number in there, okay? You know, so this is a internet website, so you typically need to have at least an email address or a web, not, well, what, phone number, website, internet site. Nina, this is supposed to be full of handouts. Will you make some for me? Maybe I already handed it out. I already hand out the one that says online support for 5-Path and 7-Path hypnotherapists, and it says, you know, join these different groups. I didn't think so. Okay, that's supposed to have been filled with enough stuff. And we have to have one to email off to Ali, and John's supposed to have all that stuff set up. John and Danny. Okay. So as soon as she gets back with that, I'm going to hand that out, and there's a series of different email groups that you can sign up for. And we will then enter you into those groups. It takes a few days for us to get that done because Yahoo has a rule that you can't add any more than 10 people to a group at a time. And so we can only, like, there's like about 7 groups. And if there were 10 people in here, that'd be 70 people. They say, and so it would take us a while to get all those entered in. But you're all going to be entered into the 5-Path group. There's also a 7-Path group, a 7-Path teachers group, talk about hypnosis group, which is open to everybody, a marketing hypnosis group, and that's about how to grow your practice, and so a speedy inductions group, which is about instant and rapid inductions, and people talk about that. So you can opt into those. Each one of the emails that you get from that group will have instructions at the bottom. If you want to opt out of this group, send an email to this address. So you can instantly unsubscribe from any one of the groups. So you can sign up and try whichever ones you want. Okay. The most important ones is the one we're going to automatically put you in. That's the 5-Path group. Okay. Hypnotherapist-5 and 7-Path, and that's in Yahoo. The second one is you've got to take some action on this, and that is get your account. If it wasn't important, I wouldn't have gone out there and had John run Sue through it. Go to ourhypnospace.com and get an account and join the 5-Path group. You've got to do that. I can't do that for you. So I think the hardcore, the very best students are going to be in there because they have to actually take some action to make it happen.
Okay. When we're on those groups, then does that come to our inbox, or do we go to the group and read the...
You can. There's an option that you can either get a daily summary.
Yeah.
All the sessions, whatever everyone wrote to that group, in one thing. So you just get one message in your box. That's a daily summary. You can get, send me each message to my inbox. Or you can do, don't send me anything. I'll come and check when I want to know what's going on. It's whichever you want.
Because there's a lot.
There's a lot. I get the daily summary because we'll get anywhere like 10 messages is kind of a slow day for that group. And you know, so it's usually more than 8 or 10 messages a day going on there. It's incredible. I mean, there's more than 500 members from all over the world. It's an incredible knowledge base. Some of them are brand new. I mean, they just it's the first certification class in there. There's other people in there that have been doing this for years and years. Some have been doing 5-path for years and years. Some have done other systems and then converted to 5-path. Some of them have specialties like sports or children. And say, next week, can you hand that out for me, please, to everyone? Next week, you get on, someone comes in because they want to, you make an appointment to see someone for bedwetting. When you, you know, there's someone on that group who's an expert at working on that. Let's say you get someone who comes in next week for sports improvement, equestrian, and there's someone on the group that's an expert in that, and so you can get answers quickly. I don't know diddly squat about equestrian sports. But so we can get you information on it, kind of thing. So it's a great group. And there should be at least one left over for me. So please start at the top. Name.
Hi.
The whole thing. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Location of practice. If you put your whole address, then we'll put your whole address on the website. Because you're going to get a web page on the website, right? If you want to just put the city, then we'll just put the city.
You know, I'm just getting so much on the 5-path coming down. I mean, God, tons of stuff. But John Paul was nice enough to condense it into a little summary.
No, he isn't.
He isn't?
You talk about the 5-path group, you're under the impression that
sure.
John Paul goes through that and condenses it down to
well, that's how he sends it to me in a package. Then I can open it up and it'll take me to a different page.
That's a... Yeah, he doesn't do that. He doesn't do anything with that. If you're talking about the 5-path group on Yahoo,
correct.
There's three ways you can get it. You can get where you go to the website and read them when you feel like it. There's receiving each email, or you can get a summary.
The summary.
Okay, which is the whole day. John doesn't do that. Yahoo does that. John doesn't have time to do that. I need 3 Johns.
That doesn't sound good. But all that coffee. Listen, what I would like to do, ask you, though, is I'm getting so much, you know, there's a factor here that I'm trying to separate the chaff here from the grain. I'd like to change or build a new email. I haven't had time to do that, so that I will have all of this funneled into just that one site, that one email address.
So your question to me is?
Oh, no, I just said that's what I want to do. So I don't want it coming to this one location
okay.
at this time. So is that a problem? If I comes here and then redirect it later?
Okay. Well, you can redirect. All you have an account on Yahoo.
Right.
You go to Yahoo, and there's a place where you go in there, and you edit your account, and then you can put in a new email address.
But that would be everything, would it not?
You can do that per group. I have some of the... you can set up an email address for each group. You can program Yahoo with a number of different email addresses and then associate different groups with different email addresses.
Okay.
Back when I used AOL, I had some going... I had like my fun groups go to my AOL account, and then I have my business groups go to my CalBanyan@hypnosiscenter.com address.
Okay. Thank you.
Can you use your company name as your name instead of your real name? Does it become your username?
Well, we need to have your name on this form.
Okay.
And you don't want your name to show up on your directory?
I have privacy issues. I'm on the internet. I don't want people see my real name.
I don't know if we'd be willing to do that. I think you have to have your name on the website to be in the directory. You can have your company name, but you got to have a name.
Is it like a profile you put in your name? But I don't know. I just don't like.
It's just one page in the directory that has information, so that they will want to call you. They're in your area. And I don't know if we're willing to create something like that, because we're willing to do it. The idea is we will do this for you, but for a DBA, I don't know. And you've got to have an email address on there. So, but if you have like J. Johnson or B. Stanley or something like that, that's fine with me. Or if you have a professional name, but we need to have a name that is, you know, somehow your name.
I have
pseudonym. And we need to know who you are.
Yeah.
I don't want somebody out there that I don't know who they are. Okay. And then you get this for like a year free. Then later on we're going to charge you for it. Something like $25 a year. And after a year of having it, you'll know if it's worth it to you or not. And included in that is membership in the Five Path International Association of Hypnotists, which has some other benefits too. Okay. So, Five Path is already checked off. Seven Path Practitioners List, that is like where people who learn Seven Path as just normal practitioners can be signed up. But teachers can sign up there too. Then there's also the Teachers List. Now, if you have a question about how to teach Seven Path, you wouldn't send it to the Practitioners List. You'd send that to the Teachers List. The last thing we want is a certified seven path teacher going in there. I don't get how to do this stuff, you know. Okay, ding-a-ling. That goes in the teacher's thing. Okay. And there's a talk about hypnosis list. This is a group that's open to everyone. Well, I've seen five pathers get on there, start answering questions. They establish themselves as an expert in the field, and then they've had people fly across the country to come see them because they know what you're talking about for sessions. I've seen five pathers get on that group, start answering questions, and kind of become a star of the group. Going, wow, this one person really knows what they're talking about, and fly the therapist to them, $1,000 a day, you see, to work with them. So it's worthwhile to, this is how you establish yourself as an expert. Back in the day when I was getting started out, it's one of the things I did. I'd get on these groups that other people would start, and I'd start answering questions. And that's how I first started building up, filling up my classes. They say, hey, that Cal Banyan knows what he's talking about. Join Hypnosis with Spirit Group. You want to talk about DFBs? You want to talk about past life regression? You want to talk about anything weird? Aliens? That's the place to do it. Also, Ultra Depth, Ultra Height, and 7 Path. Join the Marketing Hypnosis List. You want to learn how to get clients? You want to learn how to fill up your classes? The huge database of information there. I mean, if you just went, all the messages that have ever been posted there are still there. If you start reading through those, you'd have one of the best books on marketing hypnosis ever written. Speedy inductions. We want to talk about doing inductions quickly. Let me say something about the Five Path Hypnotherapist List. I think we're around 12,000 messages have been posted there. And I've already told you how I feel about PhD in clinical hypnosis, the DCH thing. You know, all these doctorates in hypnosis out there. You know, filing in the crap file. One of the best educations you could ever have in this profession, I mean, if you really, really are hardcore, and you really, 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 really want to read and get better, go to that and go to number one, message number one. And every day, read 5 or 10 messages. And after about a year of doing that, you're going to be smarter and know more about doing hypnotherapy than any DCH or PhD in clinical hypnotism out there. And it's going to all be very realistic, usable stuff. Okay, questions about that? Do you need more time to figure out which ones to check out? Check off. It sounds like someone from Star Trek, doesn't it? Then pass them to the aisle, please.
Can I get a new email tonight and give this to you tomorrow?
You can change it. I'm not going to ask you to read
this
stuff. Give it to
John. Let me just decide. I have
okay. And you don't know where to stay.
You know where to stay.
Sign up for groups. Good, I got that done. I talked to Maureen on the phone. She's confirmed she's not going to be back until Saturday, so you guys won't get to meet Maureen if you haven't met her already. That's too bad. How many of you have access to a computer? Mitch and I have access to a computer this week?
I do.
Okay. Her talk is on the internet, on the blog. It's one of the podcasts. I'll check and find out what podcast number it is, and then you can have that, because she's not going to be able to come in and do her talk. But her talk is in there. Huh?
Can we see it over here?
We're not able to project the computer stuff on up here. So this way you'll be able to watch it anytime at your convenience. You certainly have enough stuff to do this week. You may could do it next week or whenever.
Would you also supply the address for that? Because I don't have it on my computer.
What don't you have?
The address for the blog.
Oh yeah, I'm going to get that for you. It's calbanyan.com. That's the blog.
I'll tell you, I'm going to forget.
calbanyan.com, that's my blog. I'm sorry. I just think everybody in the world knows my blog. calbanyan.com. Easy payment. So when I was talking to Maureen, she goes, did you tell everybody about the easy payment plan? And I said, no, that's your job, because I never handled the money. And some of you want to get, the big set or something like that, it's putting you in the money pinch. Talk to Amanda. She's got the paperwork for doing a payment plan on that stuff. We really want to make it as easy as possible for you guys to get this stuff home, because reviewing it is the best investment you can make in yourself. Okay? Now, if you can pay cash right now, forget about the easy payment plan. Okay? But if the easy payment plan is going to make a difference, then we're willing to do a little bit of paperwork. We don't run through a finance company or anything. I mean, it's just an agreement between you and us that, we're going to get these payments, because we really want you to be able to take that stuff home.
Do you still take everything home and then
yes.
continue to make? Do you just run the credit card at intervals?
That's right. We arrange intervals to run the credit card. Yeah. Okay. If you don't have a credit card, then we'll make an arrangement to take your firstborn child and three.
Please, you don't want my firstborn child.
Jeez. I have ways of changing them that you have not even begun to talk about. Okay. I used to work in the lockdown ward at the mental health hospital in North Dakota, so I've got things I even begin to talk about.
It snows everybody's.
And the mother won't like any of them. Let's see. So, okay, yeah, all post-dated checks, things like that. We can do all that stuff. Okay. Finish video. Okay, take a short break. Take 5 or 10, and then we'll come back. We're going to finish the video we started yesterday, and we're a little bit behind, so we got to kind of start moving a little bit more efficiently.
Kel, I'm interested in hearing more about the internship.
Oh, I'm glad.
Program.
Good. Well, what we'll do is we give you a packet of information on that to review that has all the particulars and stuff.
Okay.
And I manage the academic and clinical side of it. Maureen handles all the paperwork side of it. Okay. She's going to be back on Saturday. Where do you live?
In Irvine.
In Irvine. Oh, good.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got to make a commitment.
That's right.
You're not going to make hardly any money during that period of time. You know, that's the thing. You got to have
right.
some source. That's going to be a minimum of 3 months. It's going to be probably a minimum of 3 days a week.
That's going to be a possible problem. 3 days is going to be tough. Two, I think I could, yeah. I could swing, but I'm going to have two other internships going at the same time.
Okay. Well, maybe this isn't the best time to do it.
Well, that's what I'm kind of grappling with.
How long until you're done with one of those internships?
Well, what I'm doing is I'm an MFT in training, so I'm starting to build a private practice in Laguna Hills under supervision. And that's going to probably be a slow process. So I'm not seeing a lot of clients yet. September, I start as a part-time high school counselor over here at Woodbridge High School, doing 20 hours a week mm-hmm. to get my kid hours, because mm-hmm. I still need 350 children hours mm-hmm. before I can get licensed as an MFT. So I still have some time between now and really October, mm-hmm. you know, where I'm not going to have a lot of conflict, but I can see that eventually it could be a little bit of a pinch.
The problem with 2 days a week, it's really hard for us to schedule someone.
Uh-huh.
It just works out so much easier if they can give us 3 days. Maybe 2.5 days. Maybe there's something we can do.
What hours would be available to see people? Is it just strictly a 9-to-6 deal, or do you see people after hours?
No, we don't do after hours.
Do you see people on weekends?
No.
Okay.
I tell people... One of the reasons I went to college is I didn't want to have to work weekends anymore. You know, my law enforcement background, we worked all hours and all days, and I didn't like that. I wanted to be like a normal person.
Well, I could see my people in private practice on Saturdays, and then I could, they're going to require 3 days a week of me at the high school. They told me that, starting in mid-September. So if there was some way I pick up evenings on the days I'm at the schools. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm only going to be there from 8 to 3 mm-hmm. on the days that I'm there, because that school's out at 3. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a way.
Yeah. What we'll do, Maureen will be in town Saturday, and maybe we can have you come in, or we'll talk to you on the phone or something next week sometime.
All right.
And we'll get you the detail, all the paperwork, and get you the information, and you can make a more informed decision.
Sounds good. Okay. Now, supervision-wise, you would be available for weekly supervision? Is that how it would work? Or
Once you're on as an intern?
Yeah.
Yeah, you for an hour and a half, mm-hmm. you'll be meeting with me in here. I watch your videos. I coach you on it.
I see.
And you grow exponentially.
Is there a lot of extracurricular reading and things that would be expected?
Well, you're going to want to know the stuff in class.
Yeah.
To whatever degree you need to study up on what was in class.
Right.
And review the videos or whatever you got from class. Review, review, review. And so, you know, it just depends on if you're an Einstein in hypnotherapy and you've read it and you got it, then there's not much you have to do.
Right.
But if you're like me, I need to review stuff and study. So that has to be something that you have to have time to do. And, you know, it sounds like you're going to be busy with some other stuff, too.
Yeah, that's kind of the big question right now. I hate to really miss this opportunity to really become very proficient as a hypnotherapist, though. So,
well, one of the things we do is these kind of opportunities come open, you know, and open and open and until we've rebuilt our staff. And this is how we rebuild our staff, is we start taking interns, and then those people who work out well, who want to stay, then they become permanent.
Yeah, so.
And then and then as our client load increases, then we'll take on another intern. And either they make the grade or they don't make the grade as far as stay on permanent, or they're either interested or not interested in staying there. Some people want to have their own private practice.
Yeah.
Or they're educated in something else like psychology or MFT or whatever, and they don't want to work here, or they want to have that practice of hypnosis as an adjunct. And that's okay with us, good internship program, whatever you decide at the end of the program.
Okay. Very good. Then I'll look forward to getting more information next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really interesting. I lost one of those little nightmare things. for like months. So I go into the grocery store, you know, spray a portion for it to the dentist, and I got one rubbery thing.
You were talking about twitches and stuff like that during doing seventh pad. What that sounds. Just when I started the other night, I just started, and all of a sudden, in my, I know it was in my head, it sounded like a backfire on a car.
Because
my brain exploding.
Well, the
sheets I'd taken off the bed.
Have you ever had these experiences before?
I've never heard a pow inside my head like
okay.
that.
Okay, yeah, then what's happening is it is a symptom of an adjustment that's going on. So, like, if you have a lot of stress in this part of your body all your life, you habituate to it and stop even being aware of it, probably, unless you've got some symptomology. Then you start releasing it, and things start popping back into place.
Okay, so my brain might be popping
well,
back
Well, it's not brain, probably. It's probably more like...
It's real right here.
Well, I know, but it's possible that it's brain adjustment, but it's more likely that it's muscles, tendons, or bones moving in or around your ear area.
I did have earplugs, which actually makes sounds...
It won't
sound more like they're
inside my hand. So, you know, if that cartilage moves or those muscles move or whatever, it can cause popping sounds. It's kind of like when you get your neck cracked. If you've had that, that goes crack. Nobody else can hear that but you, perhaps. Okay?
Yeah.
And or you might move and you go, oh, pop.
Yeah.
But nobody else heard that but you.
Well, eventually.
And so that kind of thing.
Okay.
Either that or you're out of your mind.
Yeah, I was kind of like, raise up off the pillow and make
just
sure there's no
crazy.
Brains. Yeah. Three out of the four voices in my head agree.
The move is yours ever since I got here because it was in her way of the board.
What?
You've been talking to the big rep that's been sitting in this chair to move his ears since it's in the way of the board.
Yeah, you're right.
So I'm thinking it's like maybe out of mind thing.
How would you know about this?
So what do we
do
Friday
then?
Marine's not here.
Oh, yes. I told you.
I
still do a lot of teaching on Friday.
Oh,
she takes up about an hour and a half of that.
Oh, okay.
Max.
I thought it was kind of Marine all day.
And that's what we'll
you
see.
Guys should be so lucky.
That's what we'll see then, that hour and a half of what she just said when we watch
no.
that.
I said at your own time, at your own convenience.
Right, but that's what it would be. What we're going to
Yeah, what you're going to see at your own time, at your own convenience.
Is what she would have done on Friday.
Yeah.
Is what she would have done on Friday.
Okay, that's fine.
Spirits are about
that's
to
good.
Speak.
Yeah. Actually, if I had the ability, we don't have the ability right now, I would just project that thing right here and you'd watch it.
You don't have a CD of it? Audio? Oh, no, it's a DVD of it.
We never made a DVD. We have the file. It was recorded onto video and by way of a webcam straight into a computer and then published to the net.
Jason Robert De Niro, Merrill.
I don't know if it has the resolution to be projected very big on the screen because it's designed to be this big. If John has time, which he probably doesn't, I might have him try to put something like that together. Because I enjoy the rest and the break that it gives me.
Oh, yeah.
Go away.
Well, Lillian probably would accept it at that.
Well, maybe we could wish to be in that.
vampires live there? You know,
he could dance after he goes down.
This is in Romania. In Transylvania.
Here comes Vampire Island for me.
At the brain surgeons convention, you're all having this thing, you know, they have this guy from New York.
It's big and massive.
You know, neurosurgeon, brain surgeon, all this stuff. You know, and this guy has whole arm amputated, everything else.
I just don't think she looks like she.
And the other guy's, you know, it was Mr. One Up and Ship. This guy said, you know, there was this guy from Texas. This is a damn train wreck. He says, we had a team yellow hat, a horse's ass, a bunch of shit. He became president of the United States.
Yeah.
Oh.
You're
scared.
They're scary. I love them. I had the cream cheese when I didn't care.
And you what?
I didn't care for the cream cheese. I like the cheese one.
Well, I'm having a scary experience.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I gotta hear about this.
We'll do this next. Please go back to the back of the book where you are watching the important things to watch in this video. We're going to proceed right where we left off yesterday, Gada and Muhammad. We're about 45 minutes into it. We probably have another 30 to 40 minutes to go. We will discuss it and then see where we sit on time, and we may get into the next video, which is going to be wonderful because the sound is perfect. Okay. But you just kind of have to suffer through this a little bit. So that's going to be somewhere around page 148, 149, your level 2 manual. I'm talking about the important things to watch for on page 147, 148, 149. You'll probably talk about the transcript. Good. You should have the transcript there too. As you've noticed, how useful the transcript is. This is C5, not C5, Certified Professional Hypnotherapy or Hypnosis Instructor. That's why that's certified one thing. Brightens up. I'm going to rewind a few seconds so you can kind of remember where you left off. Okay. You're the volume control person.
Yep.
Because I was afraid. So you treated her the way you were treated about her? You terrified her.
Yeah. Yeah. I was wrong. Thank you.
It's an issue as well. That right?
It's an issue as well. It was never an issue.
You can grab that. Good God. Fire. Do you believe that? Does that make you feel?
No.
Tell me about your angel.
What's your name?
Tell him.
Change my mind?
Tell him.
You're supposed to look out for me. You want the best for me. You have no problem telling me what to do. It was not very important. You didn't want to step in and tell me or help me when it was important. You just stood back and watched.
Tell him how that made you feel.
Let me know.
That's right. Tell him.
I was kind about you. Trusted your opinion and it wouldn't matter. You weren't there.
Tell him what that did to you. How does that make you feel, Dad? Look at the pain. Look at the hurt. How does that make you feel, Muhammad?
I just know what she's doing. She seemed mature.
Tell her why.
I didn't want to. I didn't want to. It was just easy to make a move.
That's right. Ever since Grandpa spoiled her, you were afraid. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
And you let that fear spill over into her adult life. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
You regret that now? You see that fear was unnecessary?
Yeah.
Tell her I was wrong. Tell her.
I was wrong. I'm sure sorry. You know that you're not going to care. It takes a lot to spoil you. You're not love for me.
It hurts you, doesn't it? You let her down, and that hurts you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Tell her about that thing.
I don't know.
Tell her about that thing.
I did my best.
But if you do it over, you do it differently, don't you? If you knew then what you know now, So you're sorry for the mistake?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you believe that?
He's really sorry.
Be Dad, he's fine. Dad, you're doing the clam up thing, the defending thing. She's seen it before. And when you do that, she thinks that you're not being authentic. She thinks that you're lying to her. Are you lying to her?
Can't change the
past. We're not working on changing the past. We're working on changing the future. All you got to do is be real with her. She needs to have her life back. You want to do that for her. We're about to move on. We got about 1 minute of this. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of it, Muhammad. Tell her what needs to be said so that she can set herself free. Do it. I'm here. I'll help. I'm the coach. Go ahead. Tell her what you intended, how you like it to have been. Tell her.
I have been invited to see you become a confident woman that's able to do anything she wanted. Happy in her marriage.
Is she capable of doing anything she wants now?
Yeah.
from the next point on? Is she good enough? Is she smart enough?
Yes.
Is she pretty enough?
Yes.
Does she have enough love in her heart?
Yes.
Okay. Last thing before we move on to say.
Intellectual. It's not always logical. It's a change.
happens inside of you. It's a change that frees you for the from the domination of another, from the history that you have, by the limitations that another person puts on you. Forgiveness is something you do for yourself. Now, there's things that help forgiveness. If you understand, that helps. And maybe you understand your dad a little bit better today. Then there's another kind of forgiveness. They call it grace. And I believe it's a forgiveness created by God. It's out there so that we can give it to all those people who don't understand. Grace is forgiveness without understanding, without cause, without any kind of recompense. It's just forgiveness for yourself. Would you like to be free from all the misprogramming, from all the faults, all the problems, all of that kind of thing? Would you like to be free from that? Be ready to begin again. This is what happened. And that's your dream. And you talk until all the angels come. Because that's the change. You keep talking, and you keep looking in your sight of yourself. And you keep forgiving, and you keep forgiving. When that anger's gone, then you're free. Take as long as you want when you're done set up. That way I'm not interrupted necessarily. It starts off with, yeah.
Thank you.
was so proud of you. So you loved the way he fought for everything. He always stood up to you. You admired that of him. The way I did that is that it was me. When I tried to stand up to you, or when I tried to correct something, is that it was me.
I didn't do a lot of things. So I'm not too.
just kind of extend it. That she's right and made some mistakes, didn't you? Looking back now, you know you made mistakes, isn't that true? You guess so, it's either true or not true.
She's not happy having
a mistake. So then it's true. Did you need to put all this pain in there?
I don't know.
So that which you contributed to disappear is a mistake, is that true?
I didn't do it on purpose.
I know you didn't do it on purpose, but it was a mistake, is that true? Are you sorry for all the pain you caused her? Are you sorry for that which you caused? No. That's the way you feel, isn't that true? But the truth is, sometimes you wing it.
I don't know.
That's right, so sometimes you have to fake it. Isn't that true?
Yes.
But where you come from, you're not allowed to admit that, are you? Guess what, Kevin? Sometimes you just have to wing it, sometimes you're wrong, don't you?
I don't like being wrong. I don't like making mistakes. I'm sorry to hurt you.
You're sorry for every bit of it?
Sorry for every bit of it. Try my best, and sometimes I wasn't looking at it, but it's hard for me.
It's hard for you. Just is. too bad, it's sad, and it's a great love. But it goes through a lot of pain too, understanding. Do you have that much understanding? That he always loved you, he was always proud of you, and he was always afraid. When it came to his little girl, he was afraid more than he was confident. You understand that now? And he always wanted to be closer. He always wanted to do a job, a better job. And then he made mistakes. He knows it, but he's trapped. He's not allowed to admit it. But he did today just for you because he loves you. How does that make you feel?
Like.
Is he forgivable? Is he forgivable? You ready to make that step for yourself? And say what needs to be said, because now you know some things maybe you didn't know before.
Thank you.
Now she continues to lose. She continues to go through life dragging, limited. Limited by what you've done to her. She can continue going on feeling ugly. She can go on feeling need, failure, afraid, or whatever part she didn't forgive you for. So you failed, Dan. How does that make you feel? Talking to Dad again, but you failed today. You failed to free your daughter from the shackles that you put on her. How does that make you feel? You didn't say the words necessary to free her from the pound. You chickened out. You let fear rule you. You let fear hurt your daughter again. How does that make you feel, Muhammad?
Maybe she
doesn't know. Ask her, do you want it?
Do you want this bad enough?
You got it. It's fine. You want your life back? You want your power back?
Uh-huh.
Do it. Tell him.
Help
me, Dad. Be dead. Respond.
I don't know how to help you when you want.
You got it. Respond.
Sorry, you
don't want me to help you. Be dead, respond. I want that too, true or false?
I don't know how to hold you.
I want that true, too, true or false? I'd like to do that too, true or false?
Yes.
Tell her.
I want to hold
you. You got it, respond. How does that make you feel?
Okay, so do it.
Be dead, respond.
I don't know how.
You got it. Show him how. Tell him what to do, step by step.
Do just come close to me, Dad. Just relax.
I'll show you.
I'll show you.
Be Dad. How brave are you, Dad? You brave enough to stand up out of that chair? Can you stand up out of that chair? Or do you fear that you're stuck to that chair? Can you do it? Just stand up. Can you do that much?
Yeah.
Do it.
Okay.
Step over to her.
Okay.
Put your arms out to her. You doing it?
Yeah.
You gotta. What are you going to do now?
Just really hold me.
Hold me. And I'll finish your forgiveness. So whatever needs to be said, I'll forgive you.
Forgive me.
Not completely, not really doing it.
Forgive me. It's fair.
Do the forgiving part. Get back to the front of the
forgive you.
Then why are you forgiving?
I know you can't do this. I know it's hard for you. I can do it.
Tell me why you're forgiving. I forgive you because.
Forgive you because I know you're sorry. You didn't mean it.
For you because you always wanted to do this. But you didn't know how. Come on, tell me.
Because I always, I know you wanted to do this, but you didn't know how. Because you weren't taught how, because you couldn't teach yourself how.
You were just too afraid.
You were too afraid. You thought it was Can you, like,
Letting go of any loose and letting go of the office. Right?
feel from who I am. So free, so evil, so far. Far. The one who did it right. Be real. Smart. The one that pulls enough love inside of me. You are strong. When I saw today, it was courage, strength, understanding. All of these things are you. They are where you really are. No wonder. You're living with your spine, your greed. You're everything that you need to be. And I can take your attention to the world. She heard all of that. She's changed. She thanks you. She got that back from you. Got that from you. And she got back her insight. Like you got back her insight. You got back her ability to do you. Ability to give love. Give love. Give yourself respect. Self-respect. Respect to others. You're going to start treating yourself better. You're going to start respecting yourself more. You're not going to give it away. You can expect enough from this. Things you used to argue about that you're not going to argue about anymore. Things you might have asked for, you're not going to bother to ask. Or there might be things you didn't ask for that don't work. But you're going to be more calm, more relaxed, more consistent. The way you let go of today on your heart, your shoulders, that tension was inside of you. That was made of your own energy. Will you get that energy back today? And you used energy to keep it under control, keep it under wraps, to keep the stuff down. But you're not doing it anymore because that energy isn't there. Body and everything in your life. And so, you give back the energy that it used to have, and that tension. You give back the energy you used to have, spent on holding on your reps and all that energy. It comes back in the form of motivation, it comes back in the form of persistence, it comes back in the form of strength and courage and love for yourself. You are okay, you're smart enough, you love enough. There's nothing wrong with you, there's never anything. Dad had some problems, he had some issues. But he forgave him for all that. And that sets you free to blossom, to become who you want to be. You have more power to turn your life into the life you want to have than you ever had before. You're free, free, free. You're good enough, you're smart enough, you love enough. You respect. My respect to him anyway. Such strength, such determination, such courage, such love. A truly wonderful person. And I've been honored to be a part of this stuff. In the days, weeks, months, years ahead, you're going to build skills and abilities you never built. Because for one reason or another, it's just going to happen. Now it will happen. And move forward, building confidence. The true confidence comes from meeting one goal after the other. So you've already started the process. You are taking better care of yourself. You're setting priorities. You're not worried about the things that don't need to be worried about. You're going to become smart enough, strong enough. You're going to be more patient. You're going to do everything the better way. And it just starts. Next week will be more powerful. Next month. You turn into who you really are. No longer held back without limitations of your father's beliefs. The most important thing is the thing you have in yourself. And you're going to have a much higher regard for yourself, a much higher belief in yourself. Because you're much more than a platform. You're free from all your limitations. And you need to take them away. So you deserve the chance. We're going to count from 1 to 5 and 1 to 5. Guys, I think you can encourage and all these changes are permanent is we can never think like the parents. We can never experience a relationship with something like that. You know, so much more. So much more. One, take a position in your body, it's changed. It's open, it's free. Two, from light of your mind, energized. The session's been 10 times more powerful than it was. Three, the subconscious mind and conscious mind working together, integrating this experience so it's useful. Five, preparing to open your eyes into a new world. Because your world is different than mine. Because our world is made up from our perceptions. But your perceptions have changed about yourself, about your family, about your relationships, and most importantly, about yourself. And that means you're looking at a world full of more opportunity, more possibilities.
Sorry about the audio, but it's worth hearing it even it, with the way it is, okay?
Let me go through the finishing part of that. The most systematic and efficient way to go through this. So, page 147. Oh, I need my microphone back. Page 147, Level 2 Manual. Short Elman, deepening, three important things. In 3 or 4 minutes, we're into the therapy. We've done the induction, we've done the deepening, put her in the round room, and we're rolling. So you saw how I set up the round room, just like I explained in class. And then I put the one person who hurt her more than anyone else. And in this case, surprise, surprise, who I'm expecting? Mom, right? Dad. And so that's who she has the most anger, the most frustration with. Mother caused her the most fear and insecurity. But when it comes down to the greatest amount of fear, not fear, anger or frustration, it was Dad. And that's so he pops up. Then what I do? Tell him, you hurt me when, you made me think, you made me feel. We fill that platter of pain up. We go through the process, childhood, adolescent, teen, and adulthood. You know me, Mr. Linear. If I can find an organized way to do something, I'm going to try to do it. So he said, you hurt me when I was just a little girl, blah, 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 blah. Good, did he ever hurt you again? Yes, good. And so what about adolescent or when you're a big girl? How about teenage years? We just plod right through it, being systematically dredging it all up, right? We go through, tell him how that affected you. Tell him how that affected your relationships. Tell him how it even hurts you today. Continue to bring up the feeling by paraphrasing what he did to her. See? So you put it in your own words and give it back. And that was, we a little bit talked about that, oh, he was a bully. Well, that was my paraphrase of kind of, but that didn't fit. She just rejected that. Yeah, as if she would like to be free. Ask if she would like to be free of the feeling. And then have her press or strike into the pillow. And I really avoid pressing nowadays. Now I do mostly striking. Dad, you were such a, and we really had her voice how she felt about him, okay? Follow my instructions instantly, automatically, be Muhammad. And then I go after him, and I do the 10 keys of forgiveness. You know, try to uncover what caused him to be that way. Muhammad, didn't you grow up in the kind of family where you learned how to treat little girls so that they were valued and loved and felt good about themselves? No. What did you learn about little girls? They were there to do the work, you see? And so we uncovered that. You know, yeah, she's a victim, but he's kind of a victim of his environment, too. Okay. Didn't you grow up with the kind of family where... Okay, there it is. Would have been nice showing that he would have liked to have been different. I mean, if you knew then what you know now, would have been nice if you could have grown up in the kind of family where you could learn how to treat a girl so she felt good about herself? Yes. So I have Muhammad make those statements, which helps to make him forgivable. But then I go one step even further. You know what? I could sit there and say, you see, in the process, I found out that in her family, they said things to her like, you're fat, you're ugly, you're mean-spirited. And she carried all that stuff inside of her. And I can say, you're slim, you're beautiful, you've got a giving, loving heart. And that's not nearly as powerful as her dad saying, I take it back. I didn't mean any of those things. So we remove it at the source. See how that's so much more powerful than direct suggestion hypnosis? To actually be in the room, in the holodeck of her mind, and say, and have her father say, I didn't mean that stuff. I didn't say that. I didn't say, your father didn't mean that stuff. I said, be Muhammad. Did you mean that? Is she ugly? Is she fat? And then with everything that she knows about her father, what he would say if he was in that situation, he says, looks her in the face and says, I didn't mean those things. Is he becoming forgivable? You bet. Is the damage starting to be undone? Definitely. Reframe that was done to her by her father is being done out of fear. Hurting her because he was afraid is more forgivable than if he did it just because he was mean. And so you'll see that I'm constantly reframing him. What's the matter, Muhammad? Yeah, afraid? Well, that must have been very scary for you, you see? And so in a way, he's suffering too. But it's so much easier to forgive someone when they hurt us out of fear as opposed to just being mean. The offender says, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Deprogram your client by having the offender say the things she's always wanted to hear. Did you ever love her? Yes. Did you always love her? Yes. I knew it. Okay. But she had built up the wall of anger. He always loved her. That was always there to be read. She knew how to read him. She's known him all his life. You know, she knows little signals, but she refused because she was angry. As we do the forgiveness process, we tear down the wall. And he says, I always loved you. It's easier to forget someone that really loves you and says it than you think they don't. See how I'm whittling away, making this case for forgiveness. The offender says, I regret that I did this. I did that because I want you to be a good person. This is also 10 keys of forgiveness. If you read that, there's this idea of, you know, I hurt you, but I did it because I wanted you to be a better adult, or I didn't want you to get hurt in a worse way. I didn't want to spoil you. Now, we learned one other little thing, too. He was jealous of the way his parents treated her. So there was a little bit of that in there, too. Asking, do you believe him, is very important. If she doesn't, then she's not going to forgive him. Define what is meant by forgiveness. This speeds up things a lot. Lots of people out there, they're going to die from the side effects of anger, drinking, smoking, whatever it is, because they think forgiveness requires forgetting. They think forgiveness requires telling the person that they forgave them. So I lay down specific rules what forgiveness means in this case. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not accepting. It does not mean that you understand, but that is helpful. And certainly she is getting understanding. It does not mean you like or love the person, although she does love her father, and he loves her. And you don't have to tell him that you forgave him. Imagine she went up to him and said, "Dear, Dad, I forgive you for all the crap you put me through." How's that going to go down with Muhammad? But we have a pretty good idea after watching that video. What do you mean, crap? I'm the man. I'm supposed to know what's best. I always did what I did, thought was best for you. Da 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 da. Have the client forgive the offender. Keep talking until all the anger is gone. When the anger is gone, then the forgiveness is complete. And this video is a really good demonstration of what happens when you don't get enough of the stuff up on the platter of pain. She gives me what I can get out of her earlier. You hurt me when, you made me think, you made me feel, you hurt me when, you made me feel, you made me think. And I dredge all that stuff up. And then we go for the forgiveness. Just as we almost get forgiveness, what happens? Yeah, but what about this? Then we have to go back and do it all over again. Tell him. Tell him what that did to you. Tell him how that hurt you. Be Muhammad. Respond. Da 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 da. Good. Do you believe him? Yes or no? If yes, then you can move on to asking forgiveness. If not, you say, "Come on, Muhammad. Don't let her down. You said you wanted to help her. You wanted to free her from this." Inside you are the words that need to be said to make this happen. "I can't do this for you." Do it! Okay. Now the funny thing, the rule is you cannot attack or criticize your client. But when they're in the role of the offender, you can beat the crap out of them. You can say nasty things. You can be mano a mano or whatever you got to do. You see? Because the more you go after them, the more they want to defend. And it releases that information they need to defend. Yes?
I have a question on that specific point. In the beginning of the tape, you're actually talking to Muhammad, but yet you're holding on to the client's arm as if you're comforting. But what's going on is you're asking him to tell her what you would have done had you knew what you knew now, then. And he says, "I would have insisted you finish college before you got married. I would have encouraged, not discouraged, your engagement." He's fessing up, but at that time, I'm thinking, time to go for the juggler, and really beat this guy up. But yet you were holding.
No, I'm not going to beat him up when he's doing what I wanted to do.
Okay.
Now we're brothers in arms. "Come on, bro, I hope you're true. This isn't easy to do." You see?
Okay.
Now he's doing what I want. And so I'm on his side.
Because he's messing up.
Now, "Come on, man. Yeah, right on. Tell her.
Okay.
Kind of thing.
Alright.
Everything is purposeful. Once you get good at this, it's like being the conductor in an orchestra. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like you play them like an instrument. Yes?
Where are these boys being covered at? On what page?
Where we left off yesterday on page 147, 148, 149, and 150 on the Level 2 manual. We just took up where we were yesterday.
I kept seeing this conductive thing when you had your little... Because it was not only letting them know you're listening, it was setting the tempo
and everything.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yep. And sometimes I'm going... Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Growing and coming stronger and stronger. Good sleep. Relax. Deeper, deeper. And it's you are what? Conducting a hypnosis session.
Yeah. And starts with the orchestra ready.
Right. Sleep. Take a nice deep breath. Exhale, close your eyes. Whatever it is. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Okay.
I'm surprised at how insightful she was, that her dad was at some point maybe jealous. And I mean, that was very insightful.
And it could be completely erroneous.
Right.
But reality has very little to do with it. We deal with whatever she perceives the situation to be.
Yeah.
As hypnotherapists, we deal with the problem where the client perceives the problem to be when they're in hypnosis. And if the insight is useful, I'll use it. Okay. If it's not useful, I'll challenge it and try to weaken it. This is a lot of fun. It's hard work, but it's a lot of fun. Yes.
Why did you adjust the blanket at the end?
That's a good question. What happened was, who she is, her most fundamental beliefs about herself, her world, her family, what she can do now, what she's capable in the future, was so enmeshed with her beliefs about her father. And we fundamentally changed those core beliefs. And as soon as that happens, the subconscious mind must accept it. So I want you to think at the very, very basement of her mind, we did a lot of changes. The very earliest neural connections in her nervous system, we just rearranged everything. And that sends a tremor through the system. It's actually like shock. So when it gets into a situation where they get hit hard or emotionally or physically, and they'll go into a state of shock. Because that change is rippling through her nervous system. And then what does it do? It ripples through her muscles. And it also ripples through her organs. And she actually goes into a mild state of shock and she starts trembling. Well, her feet are already elevated. That's what you're supposed to do in the state of shock. Put a blanket over them. Then just give suggestions for deepening. It's just going to last a minute or two. As she adjusts and all that rewiring starts. And guess what? For a day or two or three, she's going to feel exhausted. Part of it's from pounding on the pillow, but part of it is just the immense amount of neurological energy it's going to take to do all that rewiring as those insights are accommodated through every belief, perception, and memory that she has regarding those fundamental ideas about her father, herself, and her family.
Now, where is that energy coming from? Because I still have a belief system that you, the therapist, get some energy, them to elevate energy to make a change.
That's all up to debate. You can believe whatever you want to believe. My working philosophy is it's all made out of their energy.
Yeah.
And it's for a while they're going to be tired because it's going to use their energy reserves. But then they're going to get back all that energy because they don't have to, energy is being used for the anger, for the fear. Doesn't have to be used for that anymore. The energy they have to use to repress it doesn't have to be used anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's my working theory, but the truth is I don't know.
Did she start trembling on there, or did you?
She started trembling,
okay.
And I recognize that as this mild kind of affect, really shock.
Would you do that in anticipation of that, even
no.
if you hadn't seen that?
I have no reason to do that. I've done that only a few times.
The other thing, just a thought, is that here she's got it in her mind and she's rewiring, and one of the last places, even though you've kind of gone out to the body and back in again, is it's her dad tucking her in and giving her the good night and the good morning that she probably always looked for physically and having that thing.
Yeah, that wasn't in my mind.
I understand. From her,
and I don't know if that is something she wanted. But if you thought that would help, then that would be fine. So that brings me to the next point. As we get to this point, and it's really worth watching the whole video just to watch the last two or three minutes of the therapy process that I do with her, where there's this little girl. She actually becomes the little girl for a moment. But just before that, there's the Gata who just doesn't know what else to do. And she's kind of digging in her heels, and her father's digging in the heels. And I kind of say, well, what needs to be done here? Well, I don't think she wants it bad enough. And I think this is a theme that's gone on through her life that hadn't really come up yet in the therapy process. That's like the last thing. And she says, I said, well, do you want it? Yes. Good, tell him. And she tells him. And then there was a deal struck, and I heard it. There was a deal. The little girl inside of her basically said, if you could hug me and hold me the way I've always wanted you to hug me and hold me, I'll forgive you for anything. I said, got it. See, I know I can get him to do that. I know, because they climb Mount Everest one step at a time. And I'm going to break that down into things I know he can do. So you want to do that? You got to do that, Muhammad? I don't know how. We're going to show you. Walk him through it, God, just the way you want it. I said, Muhammad, you going to stand up or you stuck that chair? Has that fear got you stuck in the chair? Come on. You scared? You see, he's a macho man. And I'll tell you how to get the macho man to do anything you want.
Scary.
That's right. You dare. What's the matter? Are you afraid? Well, they can't show that they're afraid, so they'll do the stupidest, dumbass things to show you they're not afraid. Why? Because they're afraid. See, that's why he's never hugged her. That's why he's never said, I love you. Because he's afraid. So I put him between a rock and a hard space, a betwixt and a between. I put him in a dilemma. Stay there because you're afraid, or overcome the fear. Come on, do it. Are you standing up? Yes. Good. Tell him what to do. Put your arms out, Dad. Be Muhammad. Are you putting out your arms? Mm-hmm. Good. What's next? Step forward, Dad. Good. Muhammad, you doing it? Yeah. Good. Reach out to each other. Hold each other. You doing it? Yeah, Dad. That's what I always wanted. Muhammad says, I've never really been held. I've always wanted this. Yeah. Stop. Man, scripts could be made out of this kind of drama, right? She wants to be held by her dad. Grab this arm, grab this arm. Wrap up the deal. And have her there, and I rock her just like a daddy would rock the baby. And then the forgiveness is done. The forgiveness is complete.
Did she sigh or anything?
I heard her a couple of times.
Yeah, that's right. And that's evidence that we're making that shift. And then we wrap it up with direct suggestion. We let him go, completely unchanged by what had happened. She's the one that changed. He doesn't know, remember any of this. That's important. Because when there's a part of her that knows this never happened. But the rest of her knows that if he was there under those identical situations, that's her best estimate of how he would behave. You see? So to tie this up in kind of a tight, logical, realistic kind of package, we have to have him leave the room and forget everything that happened, because he's unchanged. She's the only one that's had the experience, because he wasn't really there. That's why we do that. Okay. Now, if she decides that she needs to tell Dad, I forgive you, that's fine. But I also like to say things, you'll never be able to look at your dad the same way again, because of the experience you had today. You're going to see him as a product of his environment, always wanting to love you. Da, 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 da. You see? Direct suggestion, direct suggestion, direct suggestion. Okay? For what she came in for, to receive the benefits that she came in to receive. Got it? Okay. So let's go back to that chapter, and I want to cover something. You guys are supposed to read the outline, but I want to get into this this schematic looking thing a little bit. Cycle process of phase three of five path. It's the one that looks like this. It's got the little lines drawn around. I want you to understand this page. Age regression is linear. You go back in time, back to now. Forward in time, back to now. Okay? But the forgiveness process is best understood as having these little subroutines in it. Anyone here ever study computer programming? Okay, this is really written kind of loosely like a computer program, somewhere between BASIC and Pascal. In BASIC, each computer instruction has a line number. Okay, and in here, I'll have these little subroutines that are based upon logical statements. If, then,
yes, no, that kind of stuff. So we commence the program. Create the round room with the two chairs. That's number one. Two, client expresses anger. You hurt me when you made me feel. Okay. Three, client, and this is all the filling the platter of pain, all that stuff, pounding on the pillow. Okay. Client becomes offender, and therapist confronts like client did in two. So in two, they go, you hurt me when you were such an SOB, da 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 da, right? Number three, the therapist says, be Muhammad. Muhammad, you look what you did to her. You hurt her. You ruined her life. You were such an SOB, da 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 da. Okay. When that's done, you go down to number four. Offender reveals causes and regrets about what was done. You know, wouldn't it be nice if you grew up in the kind of family where you wanted to, yes, do you regret that you didn't grow up in that kind of family? Do you wish you hadn't hurt her in that way? Did you suffer because of that? Was there any reason why you did that? Was it for her benefit? All those 10 keys of forgiveness stuff. Five, client is asked if she believes the offender. Be got it. Do you believe him? Okay. If no, you do this little subroutine here. Client tells the offender she doesn't believe. B, offender is encouraged to become more convincing. So what's the matter, Muhammad? You know, are you telling her the truth? Yes. Do it. Inside you the words that need to be said so that she can believe you. Do it. Good. Be got it. Now do you believe him? Okay. If she says, I believe, then move on to six. The client says, I don't believe, go back to A. Muhammad, she still doesn't believe you. Come on, heart to heart. You got to say something maybe you've never said to her before. Dig in deep. This is your daughter. Do it. Okay. Da, 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 da. Now do you believe him? You know? Yes. Then we move on. No. And I said, what do you need to hear, God? What's he holding back? He hasn't said da, da, da. Good. That's all you got to do. Mom, you got to say da 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 da. Or whatever it is. You ready to do that for her? You really love her? Yes. Do it. Do it. Now do you believe him? Yes. Good. Move on to six. Have the offender ask for forgiveness if the client is unwilling to forgive. Okay, so we have Muhammad. How'd you like to do something to set her free from the past? Undo all the damage you ever did to her. How'd you like that? I'd like that very much. You won't get to have the deciding choice here, she does. She's the only one that gets to benefit. Because when this is over, you don't remember it at all. Really, I'm telling her that if you forgive him, you benefit, he doesn't. But I tell it to Muhammad. It's like all these different levels of stuff going up at the same time. It's quite intriguing, really. Okay. Do it. Please forgive me. Blah, 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 blah. Good. You got it. Do you believe him? No. Come on, Muhammad. There's something you haven't said yet. Something you need to say so that she'll believe you really want something so that she can forgive you. Do it. And I can go back and forth that way until she says, yes, I do believe. Okay? She is willing to forgive. So the offender responds, becomes more convincing. C, then the client is willing to forgive. Go to seven. Seven. Client goes through forgiveness process, say whatever needs to be said. Good. Got him? Let me tell you what I mean by forgiveness. It doesn't mean that you like him. Condone him. Accept what he did. None of that stuff. There's a change inside of you that neutralizes the anger. Would you like that? Yes. Okay. Inside of you, the words that need to be said to make this forgiveness complete. Take as long as you want. When you're done, say, I'm done. There you go. They say, I'm done. Therapist checks to make sure that the forgiveness has been complete. Because they'll say, I did it. And sometimes they didn't. So we say, therapist says, check inside you where you used to feel the anger. This is why we ask them, where do you feel that anger in your body? So that we can go back there to check to see if the anger is gone. A lot of people don't know what. Even they're doing their best, but they haven't done all the forgiveness work yet. Okay? Or there might be some kind of secondary gain, which we'll get to later, that they don't want to forgive them yet. We'll check. We'll find out. Okay, how does it feel in there now? If still angry, go back to 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They said, well, I'm still angry about this. Good, tell him. You hurt me when? You made me think. You made me feel. Good, be Muhammad. Respond to that.
da-da-da-da-da. Do you believe him? Yes or no? If yes, move on. If no, back to Muhammad. He's starting to see the cycles. There's like these little three subroutines that you work through. Okay? If she says the feeling is gone, proceed. Then I like to read through that list. Remember, I had this list up here. You hurt me when, you made me think, you made me feel. You hurt me when, you made me think, you made me feel. On my notes. She says, the feeling is gone. I said, good, look at your dad. He's the one that encouraged you to get married too soon, treated you unfairly, mate said you was fat, you're ugly, you're all this stuff. As you look at him now, how do you feel? If there's more anger, go back to 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm still angry about. I'll tell you what. I'm going to cause this person to experience a level of forgiveness that until that point was absolutely unfathomable. This is a healing forgiveness. This is a healing forgiveness, you see? I say, how do you feel as you look at it now? If there's anger, then we're not done. But if they say, I feel sad, I'll say, yeah, you lost a lot, didn't you? Or they might say, you know, I kind of feel sorry for him. I said, yeah, you know what? You're never going to look at your dad the same way again. When you see him, the anger's not going to be anymore, but you're going to have that kind of feeling for him. Because it's based on the reality of the situation that you recognize today. They might say pity for him. The most highly evolved and most wonderful thing that you can get is, I feel only love or compassion. All that's left is love. Or all that's left is compassion. Good stuff. Okay. When the forgiveness is accomplished, then suggest an attitude of ongoing forgiveness. I'll say, you know what? We let him go. He hasn't changed. You've changed. Next time you see him, he's going to be the same SOB he was 3 weeks, 3 years, and 30 years ago. He's going to be acting the same way. And if you get all mad about it, he's going to pull you right back in. How would you like to always be free? I'd like that very much. Then you must accept an attitude of ongoing forgiveness. Was it right to forgive him today? Yes. So is it right tomorrow? Yes. Is it right next week, next month, next year? Yes. Okay. You ready to adopt an attitude of ongoing forgiveness like that? Yes. Then you will always be free. Then we got to make a decision. Look at the clock. And you got to ask yourself, okay, does this person need to have this kind of support and guidance in forgiving anyone else? Or can they forgive everybody else on their own? And how much time do I have? If I'm running out of time, then I wrap it up with direct suggestion, and then we see them next week. If I have time, and I believe that they can do it on their own, they've been insightful enough. It's like, oh my God, it was for me. The forgiveness was for me. Now I want to forgive everyone. If you got them at that state, you say, now I want you to put every person that's ever hurt you in any significant way. It's just reminding. Okay? And then one after the other. Just, I don't have to hear any of it. It's all done in the silence of your own mind. Speed of thought. Say whatever needs to be said. Hear whatever needs to be heard. And then forgive them. Move on to the next one. I usually like to leave about 15 minutes for that. The longest one I've ever seen was about 22 minutes. Okay, and so if I run over 5 minutes once in a great while, I don't mind for something like that. Most of the time it's done in 5 or 10 minutes. And it's kind of fun to watch. Because sometimes you get someone that's very, I don't know, animated. Like, okay, and there they are, they're chilling on. Thank you. And then just go through that over and over and over. And you're not allowed to laugh. They make some funny faces. Okay. Some just, they just lay there with that hypnotic mask, no expression at all. It doesn't matter. When they get done, they say, I'm done. I say, did you do it? And say, good, how do you feel? And they will say, I feel like the weight of the world has been lifted off my shoulders or my chest. Or they go, I feel like I can breathe. But that feeling that I've had in my gut is gone. Good. That's if someone looks like they've learned enough from the first forgiveness session to be able to do it all on their own. If I think they would benefit from going through that process with someone else, that's what we're going to do next. Okay? So I knew she had issues with her mother. I'd also had no more time for this session. I wrapped it up with direct suggestion. So then the next session, we go right back to the round room. And I said, put the other person that's hurt you more than anyone else in that chair. And she puts, yes, her husband. And that's what we're going to watch next. But the sound quality is excellent. It's going to be a lot easier to listen to. Okay? So that's what we're going to watch next. Tomorrow's going to be a big video day. You're going to watch two videos. You're going to watch the video, the next video of the forgiveness, and you're also going to watch forgiveness of self. So, you know, if you want to bring popcorn or whatever, that's okay. We're running about an hour behind schedule. That's no big deal. We can make it up. And since Maureen isn't going to be here on Friday, that gives us back the hour, so we should be just about on. And besides, there's, I can always keep you late. No, we'll get through it. It's not uncommon for me to run an hour or so behind. We'll make it up. Maybe have on Friday we have our lunch here, and so if what we'll do is we might end up having a half hour break instead of the hour long lunch break. By the way, tomorrow is Thursday,
photo day.
So if you haven't brushed your teeth yet, you do that. If you don't have a comb, go get one. If you want to have a shirt and tie in the picture, which I highly recommend, I'm very pro shirt and tie, then do that. Sport coat or whatever. If you have it, not required. I think it looks good, though. By the way, I don't wear my shirt and tie for me. I'd rather be in a tattered up, disgusting, you know, 12-year-old Harley shirt that says Sturgis 50th Anniversary 1991 and some just as ratty jeans. I don't wear this stuff for me. I wear it for you. Back when I was in graduate school, I heard about a study, scientific study. And what they did is they had physicians, three different treatments. They would either see their patients and prescribe them medication in one of three outfits. One, very casual, like a polo shirt and shorts, okay, with, you know, cut off slacks, nice shorts. Or long, nice, you know, like Dockers, but casual pants, and a short sleeve shirt. Or slacks, white shirt, and tie. Okay, that was the independent variables. The measure was, that they wanted to see was, what percentage of each treatment group actually, one, bought the prescriptions, and two, used them as instructed. What are we measuring there? It's kind of like suggestibility, right?
Yeah.
Or at least compliance. And they found out that the ones that received their doctor's appointment in the tie and the plain shirt and the long slacks were far more compliant, much more likely to what? You actually take this, get the subscriptions and take it as prescribed. Gosh, you know, doctors have the most unimpeccable credentials there are. I mean, it's like No, they are the priests of the modern day. They're the ones who are in charge of life and death. They, if anyone could get away with dressing casual at work and us still having a lot of respect for them, it would be the physician. So here we are in this kind of alternative, complementary, kind of fuzzy profession. We kind of need all the help we can get. And so when we see clients, we should dress in a way that's going to make them as compliant and as suggestible as possible. For women, it's a little bit more difficult to identify what that combination is. On the talk that Maureen gives on Friday, she talks about that, about men and women and how you should dress in the office and also how to run an office and stuff like that. On the business startup pack, there's even a longer version, more detailed version about how to make appointments and business stuff. Okay. So I do this for you. Feel complimented. Because I would expect that the same suggestibility would go forth with teachers as there would be with hypnotists. All right. Let's talk about you taking a short break. You just watched the video, right?
Yeah.
And you had a break before the video, but you hadn't had a break after the video. It all starts to run together for me after all. Okay, take a 10-minute break, come back, and then we'll prepare you to do your practice for this evening. It's almost 5:30.
Yeah. Eyes watering now.
How's it going, Pasti?
I'm learning a lot.
Good. Any questions? Maybe I can help you with?
No, I think I understand everything.
Okay.
Just how many more days? Two more days. You guys are holding up pretty good.
I said that yesterday.
Inside, you guys are criminal.
I said that yesterday. Seek, like, choke. Mine was good. I really enjoyed it. As a matter of fact, it was the best thing I had at the thick litter of the salmon. Mm-hmm. And it kind of sorted the spot. Kind of sorted.
Yeah, I don't know the belt. Fish. It was really good. Yeah.
All right. JB? Hello, is this JB? Yeah. Hey, Honey, I brought a bunch of suits in. This is Kim Bothwell and stuff, and I just want to see how you're going. I'm leaving town on Saturday, and want to know if actually if there's a possibility you can pick them up a little bit.
Thanks anyway for the
offer.
No, no, I dropped them off. I gave them to you on Saturday. Last week, and I want to know, because I live in San Luis Obispo, and I want to know, want to make sure that you're going to be ready. And if you're,
I will.
Are you going to have my suits altered that I gave to you?
No problem. No. But
it's because
the cardinal's name might be different than
the
actual signature.
You wrote it on a, hang on a second, number 5, it looks like 72 or 506, I think it's 572. I had a suit,
we just ordered
three pants, okay. And three coats.
You don't need help from me? I'm listening to everything.
We took your advice. You had it really uncomfortable for men. And so you said,
It would be the black suit.
I was yeah,
and the pants.
I never want to do it. It's cool.
Yeah, it's got a stripe. Okay. What time do you close tonight? Yeah, but what time do you close tonight? I don't know if I can make it there tonight. Probably be like around noon or 1 o'clock tomorrow if possible. Pardon? Okay, thank you. About 1 o'clock, yeah. Alrighty, bye.
Shower at all because he was afraid he'd get water in his mouth and they're not supposed to, you know, during sunrise to sunset or whatever. And then I had to tell him about sponge baths. I said, then if you're not going to get in the shower, you're going to have to take a washcloth, get soap on it, you're going to have to wash under your arms and, he's the closest to being angry. And he wasn't angry with me. He was angry with, because I told him, I said, you know, my job here is to be your best friend in the United States. And your best friend is someone who has to tell you that kind of stuff. And I said, now when I come to visit you in Turkey, then you're going to be my best friend in Turkey. You're going to tell me quit showering so often because you smell like soap and people can't stand it.
Some are, but some really aren't,
or they don't show us. You know, girls are. And then sometimes with the girls, I really think it kind of gets in places where maybe they can't teach, like in folds and stuff. So we have to talk about that together.
Okay, good.
Does anyone have questions or questions about the products? Which ones are helpful? Which ones aren't? Which ones? They're all helpful. Depending on what you want to do. But you know, if you want to do pain management, you never deal with children, then you don't buy the Von Essinger pain management one. Is great, and you avoid getting the one on working children. The balsam. The 100 what ifs is a must buy in my opinion, because it matches. It follows all five phases of what ifs.
I'll second that.
So it's over 100 questions. So every time you go through, you're going through age. It's going to hit all the basic problems that you may run into. And it's going to support the two CDs that he gives you. That he's going to give you, the one for weight loss and the one for smoking. And it's going to kind of, those are really good. You know, what they're giving you is vodka. Everything we do in here, everything you can do going forward, most likely, is vodka. Obviously, you're all kind of background, and you're all going to leave and have your own futures and destiny. But with me, I'm a 5-pounder. I can solve any issue using 5-pound. I have no need to look elsewhere. Yeah, it was like, look, learn a new nuance, an extra trick. But 5-pound is good for everything. That's why we studied. Any questions?
Yes.
Go ahead.
We mentioned that we would be getting some smoke and weight CDs. Are these the ones that we will receive?
Not the free from. Anything called free from smoking, free from this, free from that. That's something that the client would listen to. You're getting, we'll put you out and give you suggestions to sleep or to relax. That's to listen to, not to train off.
Do you recommend the free, the smoking and the weight loss?
Yeah. I recommend those two. And for each of you, in lieu of 7-pound, you get to sleep at night, free to sleep. I use it all the time.
So tomorrow,
free to sleep. I listen to it. When I want to go to sleep at night, this one, free to sleep. It's free to sleep with the snore, free to sleep.
Oh, yeah, here it is. Here it is.
Helps knock out.
Gotcha.
Yeah, 7-pound won't do it.
Can you give that to your clients?
So I've given it to my clients who have somnolence problems. Who have insomnia. I've been working with insomnia clients. I give that to support them.
And it's been working on it. It hasn't been keeping you up at night, has it?
Really? Mark, have you read this book?
The Green Book?
Yeah.
I've been through it. I've been meaning to get to it, but I haven't.
Oh, Lord.
It's in the
yes? That's that book right there.
Yeah, I've read it.
You rag, Mike?
Does that have anything?
This same great
thing. I eat them all the time.
Yeah,
right. Exactly.
But basically, you try to be
That's the pre-talk. It's the truth about hypnosis.
Simple.
And then there are two DVDs that support that. There's the one for compulsive, too much behavior, compulsive behavior.
Well, Mark Rapson, did anyone have any questions about anything so far? I know there's a lot of product questions.
Yeah, I have a crazy question.
Well,
just a capsule thumbnail answer to the difference between the affect bridge and time date regression.
Well, affect bridge, you say focus on that feeling, follow it back from earlier times.
Got it.
So you use the affect. There's the different kinds of bridges. There's affect bridge, where they follow the feeling back.
Make sure my mic is on.
There is date-time bridge, where they go to a specific date or time. You just say, I count from three back to one, go back to this specific date or time. Okay.
But they give that to you, right?
Right. They say, I really had a hard time with my diet last Thursday. I ate too much. Okay, good. I'm going to count from three back to one. You go back to that time. Well, that's what you guys have been practicing is date-time. Going back to the specific time.
Correct.
You go back to that time last Thursday, you had trouble with your diet and you ate too much. 3, 2, 1, be there. What's happening? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? Okay. The other is symptom bridge. Symptom bridge is where they say, gosh, these headaches come up. Okay, bring it. You say, okay. Like, let's say migraines. Most people have migraines. They will have pre-migraine symptoms. They'll say, oh, my migraine's about to come on. So you bring up the pre-migraine symptom, and then you follow it back to an earlier time. That way you can do a symptom bridge without having to have the migraine.
Got it. Got it. Right. Very good. Thanks. Thanks.
Isn't it okay for us to process ourselves? After we've gone through a 7-path session with ourselves, isn't it okay for us to process ourselves, like how you did with me today?
Sure. This is what you want to avoid doing. I've never seen 7-path fail when done correctly. And we have a 7-path practitioners group. And I made that statement. This one lady writes, says, I've been doing this for umpteen months, and I'm just not all that much better. And I'm doing it right. Yeah. Okay, tell me everything that you're doing. And what she would do is after each session that she did with herself, she would process it. And the way she processed it is not what you're saying. Something else. She would take every negative thing that came up and write about it. And journal it. Because someone told her that writing about things that bother you help. Well, in this case, it didn't. Because in the 7th path, she was empty in the cup. Then, afterward, she'd grab all that crap and stick it back in the cup by ruminating about it, writing about it, and that kind of stuff. So she was just going around in circles, you know. And that, so then she stopped doing that, and then she started having progress again. So you just got to make sure that you don't, you know, focus on the negative and ruminate about that kind of stuff. But you can say, gosh, you know, anything that you thought that I said would be useful, you can do.
Could they journal the positives, the changes?
Sure. Things like, I've changed because now I know. I've changed because now I feel. But the things like, what would that feeling say? My mother's a bitch. We don't want to write that down, because then we hang it on to it. We might go, God, my mother was a bitch. And then you just let it go. Let it go. And if you can, forgive her. As Delta forgives, I forgive. Neutralize that. In the Secret Science of Getting Rich program, they talk about don't dwell on your past with regard to being poor or financially challenged. Don't talk to people about it. Don't say, oh, when I was a kid, all we had, I didn't have a bicycle. I had a log, and I just moved that log around pretending I was on a bicycle. I go, roll, roll, honk, honk, roll, roll, you know. It was even harder when I had training wheels on it, okay? And you don't tell those old stories, because you just activate poverty thinking, see? You want to focus on what you want, not what you don't want. And your clients will come in focusing on what they don't want. I said, what do you want? I don't want to be fat anymore. How can I help? What would you like to want? I don't want to be afraid of spiders anymore. What do you want? I don't want to, you know, when I get up to the golf ball and I swing, I don't want to have the yips anymore. What's a yip? Well, a yip is like they hesitate in the swing. I don't want a yip. I say, well, what do you do? And I go up to the ball and I go, don't stick, don't stick, don't stick. Well, of course they're going to stick. I say, what do you want? I never thought about that. I say, well, what's the ideal thing that should happen? He says, well, it should be powerful, smooth, and accurate. Amen. So what do I then suggest to her? You're going to be powerful, smooth, and accurate. And you know what? I don't think golfers really want that either. You know? I don't know what golfers want, actually. I can't figure out why anyone would do that. I've never seen a happy golfer. You know, it might be 1% happiness and 99% just pissed off at yourself. You know, I can't think of a better way to ruin a good walk. So, you know, anyway, you know, I would say if your swing was smooth, accurate, and powerful, what would happen? Well, I'd lower my score. Well, that's ridiculous. What kind of game would you play where you get low score is good? This whole golf thing, I don't get it, you know. So anyway, I say, and if you lowered your score, what would you get? I'd feel better. Well, okay, and why would you feel better? Oh, because I would have more self-esteem. Maybe I'd win a few bucks off my friends. My friends would respect me more. And, oh, okay, so that's what they really want. That's why people do that kind of stuff. And we find out what they do want, not what they don't want. And that's what you need to do with your own brain. You need to decide what you do want and fall in love with it and get passionate about it. You see? You know, like, and once you do that, it's not hard. If you decide, you say, I want this thing. And then every, you know, you got to remind yourself every day to visualize it or, you know, to think about it. It's probably not going to happen. Remember when you fell in love? I mean, you fell in love. Did you have to remember to think about that person? You wake up in the morning and think, I wish I was with, you know, Juliet or Romeo. You see? You're supposed to be doing your algebra homework, but you're thinking about being with Romeo or Juliet, right? See, that's the way you got to be about things. You have to find out what you want and fall in love with it. And the money will come, the people will come, and the success will come. Okay? So accentuate the positive. Let go of the negative. Just let it go. All right, so now we're ready to do our next practice session. Today, you're going to do induction. You can do any induction you want, either the Elman or the short Elman. Now, I prefer you do the short Elman just because it takes less time. Okay? I'd like you to do a deepening technique. I prefer you do a shorter deepening technique, like the simple one down to 5 or something like that. So now we are on page 56, level 2 manual, exercise 2. You do exactly what you've been doing, except you hypnotize them first. Otherwise, it's exactly the same assignment. It's no longer role play. It's the real thing. So, exercise 2, page 56. This exercise consists of first hypnotizing your subject, then deepening the hypnosis, then conducting an age regression to a prearranged, pleasant, happy time. Do not do affective. I have to leave something for you to look forward to tomorrow at this time. You will. But please do not do affect bridge yet. What I'd like you to do is, number one, prearrange a time and place for the regression. Should be before the age of 12. If you cannot think of a positive time before the age of 12, come up with your earliest possible time. Yes? Don't you, under no circumstances, are you to. I hope that's clear. Got it? Okay. I don't know. I was such a rascal when I was a kid, you know. Okay, under no circumstances are you allowed to do affect bridge. Don't do affect bridge. That comes tomorrow at this time. You just do what's on this numbered list. One, prearranged time and place for the regression should be before the age of 12. If you cannot, since we can't fake it now, and your earliest happy memory is at 14, then do 14. That's fine. Induce hypnosis using short Elman banging induction, unless your client says, I have not yet lost the numbers. Okay. Three, deepen with the three things we do in hypnosis script, or a simple one down to 5. What does that mean? Going deeper, going deeper.
One to five.
That's where you go. One, relaxation is starting to double. Two, relaxation is doubling more and more. Like the one down to five part of the element. Regress by counting back from five to one, as before. So once you've done the induction, deepening, you say, in a moment I'm going to count from five back to one. When I get back to one, you're going to be at that time when you were blank years old and blanking. Just like before, you go back to when you were five and you were catching your first fish. You're going to go back to when you were eight and you got that first A on your spelling bee or whatever it was. Okay? Five, spend 4 or 5 minutes through the regression. What's happening? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? I would like you to add this to it, and that is, say, whatever they're doing, say, describe that to me. It is a really good deepening technique for the age regression. It makes everything more real. You say, if they say, I'm riding my bike, describe your bike for me. You know, I just caught a fish. Describe it for me. And what will happen is if they are not yet seeing what's going on, that will usually trigger the visual aspect of the regression. Once that's done, unregress, like in the previous exercise. In a moment, count from 1 to 5, you're going to be all grown up again, here back at the companion center. But still in hypnosis. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It can go that fast. You know, in a moment, count from 1 to 5, when I get to 5, you'll be all grown up again here in the office. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Good. Now in a moment, count from 1 to 3. When I get to 3, you'll open your eyes fully emerged. 1, coming up. 2, preparing to open your eyes. And 3, look at me, and you do feel good, don't you? As these exercises get more interesting, more sophisticated, and more complex, it's vitally important you don't spend 3/4 of the time talking about it, or you're going to wind up doing it 1.5 times. It's really important that you dig in and do it. And I know there's resistance to doing it because it's new, it's kind of nervous, and you want to make sure you're doing it just right, and you want to talk about it for a while. But guess what? We got 2 more days left. And we got a lot of work to do.
Is there a reason to do inside, outside, day or night for this? Because
yeah, you always do that. Whenever you do the age regression, do that.
Okay.
Be there. First impression, daytime, nighttime, indoors, outdoors, alone, or with someone. That goes without saying. That's how you take someone into a specific event, always. It doesn't matter if it's symptom bridge, affect bridge, cognitive bridge, daytime bridge. Cognitive bridge is when they have a thought. Like they might have an obsessive thought that runs over and over. Okay? Focus on that thought. Go back to an earlier time when you had that thought. Mm-hmm. Okay? Once we're there, then what we'll do is say, what's happening? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? Once we've got the emotion, then we proceed with affect bridge. Because affect bridge is more reliable. Because emotion is a more powerful bridge than something as fragile as a thought. Any questions about that? This is tonight and tomorrow morning. Esther?
I can't locate the three things we did in hypnosis pattern. 193.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
193. Probably the better one is on 193 because it's in the appendix and he can pull it out without missing.
Okay.
What I like, why I put this stuff in the appendix is you can pull it out and just use it for a session. It doesn't mess up the rest of your manual. And it's also aligned at the top of the page where a script in the manual might start halfway down the page and be halfway on the next page. Okay. Mark's got an announcement.
Hey guys, how are you doing today? In addition to following Cal's
house on the bus for work tonight, tomorrow morning. I'm going to be around helping. The reason why I'm making that actually is to tell you this. After you guys are done for the day, 6:30, I'm going to be staying around until about 7:30. I'm staying as long as you need today. Answer any questions you have about the process, about what we're working on, about 5th path, 7th path, and also about any of the products. Because I know some of you might be a little undecided. I've pretty much read and listened to every product that's for sale. And I can tell you what they're about, give you my opinion on them. Tell you what I think the plan, which is great, and if they're good, they do, which products would be best for you. So I'll be here tonight until everyone's gone. And so feel free to use me for any type of advice. I'll be recording.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. That's very nice. All right, anybody else? Yes, Nina. Nina, did you raise your hand? You did. I saw you. Raise your hand. Premature hand raise elation. Okay. Begin. And Mark, prioritize the online people who are watching and supervising, because they're only going to be here for a short period of time.
Let's take this off and leave it for tomorrow.